from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we resume coverage of the 2019 Midwest Crop Tour. It's day two, and we'll hear from Eastern Tour Director Brian Grady about his findings in Indiana. Then we'll have Pro Farmer's Jeff Wilson report from the Western Belt. And right after the news, the ladies are very excited, as am I. Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk will swing by. Easy, gals. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Tuesday, day two of Pro Farmer's Midwest Crop Tour. We've got results in from South Dakota and Ohio. And yikes. We need to talk to the guys about these final numbers because we're showing some significant reductions from last year. I know what you're thinking. Oh, really? Really, Captain Obvious? Yes, really. This is what we're trying to do. Okay, let's start with Ohio corn. Came up with an estimated corn yield of 154.35 bushels per acre. Compare that to 2018's 179.57, and what you come up with is a 2019 reduction by percentage in the Ohio corn yield at down 14.0%. Similar deal in South Dakota, where scouts found yield potential of 154.08 bushels per acre compared to 178.01 last year. That's down 14.2% year on year. But look at the beans. Ohio came in at 764.01 pods in a 3x3 square. Compare that to last year's 1,248. That one's down 38.8%. Not quite as bad in South Dakota, 832.85 pods in a 3x3 square there. Compare that to 1,024.72 last year. This year we're down 18.7%. The late planting, the prevent plant, the weather, even, you know, after we got crops up and out of the ground, certainly has impacted yield potential there. A couple of quotes from yesterday. Well, the really big one from the Western Belt was from Chip Flory himself. I would love to see this crop get to maturity. Yikes. Almost as if he doubts, almost as if he, Chip, are you there? Is that you?
I am.
You would love to see this crop get to maturity. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, I would. And it's just no question that the maturity of the corn crop in South Dakota is by far the big unknown, the variable that is going to determine what that final yield is up there. Davis, when you're on I-90 and you're pulling samples that have pollinated 5 to 7 days.
Yep.
And it's August 19th. I just don't know how they're going to make it. One of the things that we talked about last night with John Mick, Pioneer Field agronomist there in Grand Island, was the end of GDU from this point forward. Now, yesterday, it was 84 degrees. Right now, it's 82 degrees. We're heading for a high of 90, and then the sun is shining. You give the corn that for the next 45 days, and I'm going to feel pretty good about it. But what are the odds that we're going to have 80 to 90 degrees and blue sky on this corn crop for the next 45 days?
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I highlighted yesterday how some of the forecasters are calling for an early frost, and I hate to even bring it up, but at JW8, hit me up on Twitter, said at Davis Michelson, a normal frost could be a problem for many of these crops. Just a normal frost date, Chip.
Absolutely. Think of what the normal first frost date is up in on I-90 in South Dakota. I mean, what are we talking about? September 28 to October 1?
Yeah.
If we get a normal first frost on that crop up there, we're going to be talking about lightweight corn. We're going to be talking about high moisture corn. We're going to be talking about corn that's just generally a pain in the butt. What do you do with it?
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
You're breaking up pretty hard there, buddy. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Sorry.
let me get to just a couple of news items. I got Mike Opperman standing by. Hang up, maybe hang up and call back and see if we get a little better connection there. That's Chip Flory calling in from somewhere on the Western Corn Belt with a quick update. Now, speaking of quick updates, let's just hit some news items real quick. President Donald Trump continues to harangue the Federal Reserve, urging the organization to impose a full one-point rate cut at its upcoming meeting in Jackson Hole. Trump said the central bank showed a, quote, horrendous lack of vision, saying the Fed needs to enact quantitative easing measures to stimulate the economy and to address dollar strength relative to other world currencies. In other news, according to analysis by the Wall Street Journal, about $33 billion in apparel, shoes, and hats are among the items subject to a 10% tariff on Chinese imports beginning September 1. Roughly 40% of clothing and 70% of shoes sold in the United States are made in China. 40% of the clothes and 70% of the shoes, people. Apparel companies are now bracing for trimmed profits and possible retail store closures as the president extends tariffs on those Chinese-produced items. During a speech to the Detroit Economic Club, Vice President Mike Pence said, quote, for the United States to make a deal with China, Beijing needs to honor its commitments, beginning with the commitment to China made in 1984 with respect to the integrity of Hong Kong's laws through the Sino-British Joint Declaration. This is reports surfaced that an employee of Hong Kong's UK consulate has not returned from a visit to mainland China in Shenzhen. This has raised concerns that the Chinese government is detaining Hong Kong protest sympathizers. In his speech, the vice president also urged lawmakers to act quickly upon returning from their summer recess to pass the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, saying, make no mistake about it, passing the USMCA will strengthen the president's hand in negotiations with China. I know. Strengthen the president's hands with negotiations in China. The ladies are anxious. Let's get to Mike Opperman. Mike, any news on the on trade with Japan here as it relates to dairy, sir? Welcome to AgriTalk.
Hey, Davis. How you doing?
Good morning.
So, here recently, a group of 70 different cooperatives led by, kind of organized by National Milk and U.S. Dairy Export Council sent a letter to Lighthizer and a couple of others in the administration asking and pleading for a trade deal to get done with Japan. And that's important for U.S. dairy because, number one, it's a high-value market. So, higher value cheese and things like that go into that market. But the other problem is, while we're waiting for a trade deal to get done, folks like the EU and New Zealand and so forth have gone in and made their own separate deals with Japan. So they're taking a lot of market share away from U.S. companies, and that obviously doesn't sit very well. So it's an urgent need. You don't think of Japan as a big deal in terms of dairy or exports, especially as it relates to like Mexico and Canada and China, but from a value standpoint, it's a big deal for U.S. dairy. Hopefully it gets done soon.
I have it at $270 million in 2018, the fifth largest overseas market, with room for further growth.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's a potential for a lot more growth. So we need to make sure that we get a trade deal done so that we can be competitive in that market with other countries.
Super quick here. Deadline to sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program coming right up, Mike.
Yeah, it is. Middle of September needs to get done. About 60% of the dairies are signed up so far. It's the easiest money dairy producers will have. The coverage is retroactive back to January 1st, and the triggers have hit every month. So just need to sign up and get that money.
All right. The ladies love a dairy man, Mike Opperman from awesome. Farm Journal's Milk. Have a great day, buddy boy. We'll be back on AgriTalk with Brian Grady from the Eastern Leg of Crop Tour. Don't go away.
Built over generations, the dairy is what gets you up in the morning and sometimes keeps you up at night. To say you're invested is an understatement. Merck Animal Health Brands have a 50-year history of providing the products dairy herds need to stay healthy. With innovation, passion, and integrity, we'll do what's right for your operation and for you. This is why Merck Animal Health works. Visit MAHcattle.com to see how Merck Animal Health can work for you.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
In a year like this, you need to know where your operation stands when it comes to actual yield. As the combines roll, decide with confidence on the right strategy. Sell, store, well, true real-time data can answer that question based on your farm, not some national average. Get all the real-time knowledge you need and $500 off your Farm Mobile data subscription. Use promo code CROPTOUR19 at farmmobile.com/CROPTOUR19. See Farm Mobile at your local stop on the 2019 Midwest Crop Tour. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at AgWeb.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to AgriTalk. Thank you for tuning in. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big leafy green microphone of AgriTalk. Chip Flory is out gallivanting. Chip, can you hear me? We almost lost him a little earlier. He had a little space shuttle mayday going on.
Yes, I am here. I am back.
Outstanding, yes. Sir.
All right.
Hey, and listeners, just let me urge you really quickly, go to tryprofarmer.com. You can get tour results. You can see our stuff. It's basically a free trial here for Crop Tour that allows you to see what we're thinking about them. You can read Crop Tour scout reports. You can see final results at the end of each day. It's good stuff. Go to tryprofarmer.com or download the Crop Tour app on your preferred digital device from your preferred app store. We talked to Brian Grady yesterday on the Eastern Leg. He was making his way through Ohio into Indiana. He continues westward now. Brian, they say that soybeans don't care for wet feet. How do soybean scouts feel about wet feet? Looks like there's some weather headed your way.
Yeah, I think we dodged a few rain showers this morning, Davis, but my route, we drew the lucky route, apparently. We haven't gotten wet yet, and hopefully we stay that way this afternoon. So far, so good on my route.
But we had quite the storm roll through Sparkle City in the early morning hours. A lot of wind, a lot of lightning and thunder. So I'd say keep your eyes on the skies out there, brother.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a thunderstorm roll through just by Indianapolis, but it kind of broke up as got to Indy and went north. So we've been in wet feet, but not rained on so far. So
okay,
that continues.
Very good. Well, I'm going to throw a quote from you back at you from yesterday's discussion over Ohio. We can wrap that up and then talk about your findings in Indiana. Far from made were the words that you used for that Ohio crop. Expand on that.
Just needs time. And it's going.
Darn it.
I think we're losing Brian.
Yeah.
Just needs time, I think, is what Brian's saying.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's probably what he is saying. We just need to get, I think we just need to give Brian a little bit of time to get to a spot that's got a little bit better signal, too.
Yeah, stand on your truck and hold your arm out, will you, Brian?
I'm doing it, David.
Attaboy. Ooh, it helped. Nice going.
It's a matter of time.
Well, the cell tower. I'm right at the top.
Attaboy. Well, I'm looking at an Ohio pod count in a 3x3 foot square, well below last year's. You said that your route earlier on was around a 970. That was the rough and dirty number, but the final number came out well below that, and somewhere around 38% below year ago. So maybe you saw some of the best beans Ohio had to offer yesterday.
Possibly, you know, we did have a fairly decent route, you know, but I say that everything's relative. I mean, it's right. The pod counts are still down significantly. So, you know, I don't want to put too much emphasis on that, that we just happened to have a better route than some of them yesterday with the soybeans. But there's still some flowers out there, so we could add some pods if it gets the moisture. Mm-hmm. And it gets to finish out, but it's the same thing. It's going to need time and water to get to the finish line, and there's a lot of uncertainties out there because of that and the fact that it was planted so late. But as it sits in the field right now, they look like double-crop soybeans, and they may perform that way in the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, onto the corn, I suspect your comments will probably be fairly similar. Need time, need moisture. We're at 154.35, down 14% from year ago's almost 180 bushels per acre, but not too far below the previous three-year average, which was 159 bushels per acre. So the corn crop apparently didn't suffer quite as badly as the bean crop did there. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Corn probably held up a little bit better, but boy, it's immature. It needs a lot of time, and so, you know, we measured potential. How much of that potential is realized is going to be the key for the Ohio corn crop, and Ohio's always been a hit-and-miss state. There's a lot of misses this year out there, and, you know, it is what it is. Last year was a lot of hits in the state, and right. They had the yield to produce it or to prove it at the end. There's a lot of uncertainty in the Ohio corn crop still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was last year just an extraordinary year? I mean, it was so far above the three-year average at 180 bushels per acre. Are we just maybe kind of returning back to normal? I know you've talked about a lot of prevent plant, but with this year's yield estimate in Ohio for the corn crop anyway, so close to the three-year average, I guess I'm just not sure how to get my head around that.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's more of an average year, I would say, here in Ohio. Last year was superb. Corn and beans, big pod counts on the beans, big yield on the corn. Yeah. It was a much more mature crop than what we're looking at right now. This is more back to the normal hit and miss pattern that you would see in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Now, about 24 hours ago when we were talking to you, you had mentioned you had already crossed into Indiana, I believe. So let's talk Indiana crops. You mentioned a fair amount of bare fields out there in Ohio. Are you experiencing that as well in Indiana?
Yeah, we're seeing some, but we're not in my route didn't go in the heavy prevent plant areas further north of us through that northern tier of crop districts is the heaviest of the PP acres here in the state of Indiana. But, you know, we've seen a few, not as many as I saw yesterday in Ohio. But like I said, I haven't been in those areas. But I will tell you, I'm super excited, Davis. I'm stoked over this one. I finally sampled a cornfield that looks like it should during crop tour. It was dented and starting to dent, not fully dented yet. But it just makes me happy because after all these samples that are milk stage and not even close, I got one earlier today that was dough stage, and I was all kinds of happy. Now I got a dent. I mean, this is big stuff.
Yeah.
It's the little things in life, isn't it?
It is, especially during crop tour week, the little things that put a smile on your face.
That's right.
Well,
tell me that we're going to get rained on. I tell you, it's you know, you just get your hopes up and the attitude starts to improve. And then rains on your parade.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, I don't mean to rain on your parade here, but you got excited about
not.
About
I,
that.
I literally hope not. For the crop's sake, I hope they get the rain. For the crop scout's sake, heck no.
Brian, You can always redo your hair later, Brian, if the rain messes it up. Don't worry about that. It's just radio. It's
Dude,
just radio.
I'm not worried about anything appearance-wise. Let's just get that straight right up front.
Well, you talked about that one field that had you all excited, but was that kind of a standalone spot? Is that part of what fed into your excitement there?
Well, that's the only one that we've seen that's begun to dent. So, yeah. Standalone, I don't know because, you know, we only sample one field when we stop. But sure. I would say that just through this area, we're almost across the border into Illinois, probably about 5 miles where we sit right now. And this is by far the most mature corn that we've seen. You can see it just driving up and down the road even without making stops. So I'm sure that this area it got planted earlier than many, and it's had better weather than many of the areas we've seen so far.
Talk to me about the geography of that. Are you seeing I have it in my head that it's probably improving as you move from east to west. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, just in general, I would say yes. You know, we've moved north a little bit, but not a whole lot around the Lafayette area. We mm-hmm. saw a definite improvement in most of the fields. Not all of them, by any means, but most of the fields. We started to pull samples that were more mature. We started to see a little bit better yields, and this is a better area than some of those that we were in previously.
Okay, we're coming up on it here, but we should get to beans quickly. What are you seeing in the bean fields out there in Indiana?
Soybean pod counts pretty decent. We've had a couple of clunkers that's pulling our average down.
Mm-hmm. A couple of clunkers pulling his average down there. Yep.
You know, it's kind of low so far on our seven samples this morning of 583 and a high of... It's pretty variable.
Oh, I missed that high number. What was the high number?
1621.
Well, now that one had to have you excited. Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. I got you.
Okay.
At 1621, how does that rate with the cornfield that got you so excited? Yeah, we're losing him. He's just way too excited. That's the thing there. But that would be nice if we could maintain that, but that was a high there. The low at 583. That was Brian Grady over on the eastern leg of Pro Farmers Midwest Crop Tour. Gosh, I hope he can stay dry out there.
Yeah, we'll good see. Luck to him.
Yeah, right. I've got Chip Flory here too as well. We're going to talk markets with Joe V in just a second, and then we'll be back to talk western leg of the crop tour right here on AgriTalk. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Stick around for these words.
What do you call someone who studies the weather? A climatologist? Someone who evaluates investments? A financial analyst? A person who studies DNA? A geneticist? Who researches markets? An economist? Who handles employees? An HR manager? And someone who does all these things? A farmer. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's
time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now, Varsity Joe Vaklovic, whom we appreciate very much, by the way, from Standard Grain, giving us some info on the markets. Hey, Joe, I want to start with the cattle market today because we've got live cattle up about $2 in the nearbys here. But we saw this movie yesterday and ended the day like 17, 20 cents higher. What do you make of it?
We'd certainly like to see the rally stick today. The sell-off that was associated or followed that plant fire in Kansas may have been a little bit overdone. I don't know. It's tough to say. In any case, cash cattle has come down Packers are making a ton of money here. The box beef market's been very, very strong.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we see some better demand here and put a bottom in this thing.
Well, so are lean hogs feeling like, hey, maybe there's an upswing here in the total livestock complex? They're up over a buck today.
I don't know that I'd go that far, but it's a little bit better action. I don't think we're out of the woods, but it looks better here for the moment.
All right, very good. Corn down, beans up. Rains in the Midwest. I know it rained pretty decent here.
I think that's the deal for right now. I mean, those are over the last couple of weeks, those are some pretty significant rains that we saw over what had really become the driest areas of the Corn Belt. You know, that central to eastern part of Iowa into central Illinois into parts of Indiana, and that was a nice system that moved across overnight into today, and that's probably responsible for some of the weakness here at least.
I talked to Kerry Artek from Artek Advisory yesterday on the afternoon edition of AgriTalk, and he still feels like there's some significant downward potential technically in this corn market here. Do you favor that opinion?
Technically, sure. I mean, you look at the chart, it does not look very good. I mean, December corn futures are only 7 cents from a contract low.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
They call it the World's Fair of Agriculture, and for good reason. It's all there for the folks who farm, the Farm Progress Show. Make your plans to be in Decatur, Illinois for the 66th Annual Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th. Get more information at farmprogressshow.com. See the latest in farming up close, talk to exhibitors and factory techs, and watch the equipment work in the field. We'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th at Decatur, Illinois.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Well, that was Joe Vaklovic, Standard Grain. I ran him right into the break. Sorry about that, everybody. Sorry, Joe. We really appreciate him giving his market commentary. I just can't get enough. I can't get enough of Joe V's commentary. Chip Flory, you're over on the Western Belt here, and I see we've got Jeff Wilson as well. Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing just fine. Chip was talking about the nice weather you had, 76 degrees, birds were chirping, breeze was blowing. What do you got going on today, Jeff?
It's a pretty nice. It's a little more overcast today, so we want some more of that sunshine. Both these crops want sun. They want to just get. They need that sunshine. They need that vitamin D, baby.
Yeah. South Dakota corn yield estimate came in at $1.54.08, 14.2% below year ago. Does that reflect your experience, Jeff Wilson?
Yes. I think the big story is not just that it's down. I mean, it's way, way, way behind. It needs 50 days up in that part of the country to make it to the point where it's safe from a freeze. And you never know when the freeze is going to come, but it needs all of that 50 days to make it to what the yield potential that we measured yesterday. Otherwise, it's at risk of losing some of that yield potential.
And now we saw this in Ohio as well, where, sure, we're well off last year's, but we're right around the 3-year average South Dakota corn yield. Are the corn plants themselves in generally good condition? I mean, set aside the maturity lag here, but if they can get another 50 days or even 48, 49, we'll take what we can get. Is there potential here for them to make a decent crop?
Absolutely. I don't think the plant health is a big concern.
Okay.
It's just the date. The calendar is not in favor of what's going on. I mean, it'd be great if it was July 20th instead of August 20th.
Yeah.
But But you're right. If we get that kind of a finish to the crop, it can reach all that potential and maybe even add a little bit more, because there's plenty of soil moisture right now. It needs heat and it needs sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeff, when we walked out of the hotel this morning in Grand Island, I mean, it was just, the humidity was oppressive already at 6:30 in the morning. Last night, again, I'll mention John Mick, Pioneer field agronomist. Hey, remember I asked him for the prescription, what this corn crop needs. If he could write it out, what would it be to help this corn crop in northeast Nebraska in particular?
Yeah, his first words were what? Low humidity.
Low humidity
and sunshine.
Yep.
We cannot afford to have high humidity because basically your fungicide is already probably starting to run out. And you can't spray anymore. So it's like the last thing you need is a lot of humidity and no sunshine. So watch out for those cloudy, wet days from here on out. That could be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jeff Wilson, switch us over to your soybean findings in South Dakota. Yesterday you were talking about lack of canopy, lots of prevent plant acres, not real weedy, no disease yet, but still off about 18.7% from a year ago at 832.85 was the final peg for South Dakota last night. How concerned are you with the bean crop?
Well, the factory's not there, and I'm not sure you can get any more factory built in. I mean, there's still some blooms out there, but, you know, there was some blooms underneath the latest blooms, and they already seem to have aborted. So, the beans need low humidity too. The last thing they can afford right now is to have some disease start to pop up in those fields. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that the factory is not there is a concern, and I'm not sure you can get a lot more factory built. But what you have is, you know, it can still have some big plump beans if you have those warm, you know, sunny days come through for the next few weeks. Because there is plenty of soil moisture to make sure those pods get filled with big beans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Well, let's move on to now, as Brian Grady is moving westward, you're moving generally southward into Nebraska. Start with your just early observations on the Nebraska corn crop from what you've seen so far.
I would say it's definitely better than the South Dakota crop. It's mm-hmm. further along. Plant health is relatively strong. We haven't had any of the fields that I've been in have had any major issues. Yes, there's some hail damage. Yes, there's some wind damage. We measured that today. But mm-hmm. from what, you know, farmers that are on the trip from Nebraska tell me, it's lighter than normal. So that's a good thing. And, you know, these guys know how to deal with, you know, stalks that are bent over, goosenecked. And they don't like it, but they know mm-hmm. how to handle it out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chip, I know that one of the great happy places of your life is a Nebraska soybean field. You've got a special place in your heart for Nebraska soybeans.
Yeah.
Are they giving you the warm fuzzies this year?
You know, I'll echo what Jeff said. It's definitely better than what we saw up in South Dakota. And as we made our way down to the Platte River, the bean fields did improve. The guys have done, I feel like they've done the best job they possibly could in controlling the weeds. Doesn't mean that every field is clean, but you guys, I was standing in a bean field earlier today. The plant height was about waist high, maybe just a little bit more than that, but it was a huge bean field. I mm-hmm. didn't see a weed out there, and the pod counts were outstanding in the 1750 range in a 3x3 foot square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so really, really good bean field. I don't think we're going to see any of the huge numbers that we will typically see. We'll see a handful every year where a field pops up over 3,000 pods in a 3x3 foot square. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see that just simply because of planting date.
Okay.
But, you know, it is a possibility. But doggone it, Davis, the bean crop really looks pretty good. It really does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So maturity-wise, doing a little bit better, less concerned about being able to finish?
Yes, absolutely. We're getting some fill in the beans. Jeff, are you doing beans today?
Nope, today I'm doing corn. But I will say, I will ask your sentiments about the beans. And that is that we just had this conversation because we haven't hit a 2,000 pod field yet. But they're all in the, 1250, 1500, 1650, 1625, 1750, 1789. I mean, those are all really strong numbers. And like you said, the fields are clean. But we haven't seen that eye-popping, 2,000, 2,200, 2,500 bean pod fields yet.
Right.
And we're waiting to see that, too. So maybe we'll come across it. Maybe it is because they got planted a little bit later. But the fields, they have looked marvelous, and they are big fields. And we had the same thing where we didn't see the weed in the whole field. They're big.
Yeah.
I guess I'm of the mind that maybe rather than finding a couple of eye poppers in an average crop, I'd just as soon see a little bit of consistency at maybe little bit non eye popping level. any chance that we're gonna get that out of your routes?
Those numbers sound really familiar to what I'm seeing. So we're running two completely different routes today, and we're finding the same numbers. Have you got a narrow range on the corn yields too, Jeff? Because we do.
No, we don't. We have a wide range, 76 to 202.
Oh, you do?
Wow.
So,
76.
Our highest so far in Nebraska is a 202 as well, which is kind of disappointing, except for the fact that it was dryland corn. irrigated corn in the state of Nebraska is going to be pretty doggone consistent. It is what it is. Now, are there years that it can be disappointing? Absolutely. You can't beat heat with water. You just can't do it. So if you go through one of those seasons where it is just incredibly hot, you're going to hurt the irrigated corn, no question. But the biggest variable in Nebraska is the 40% of the crop that is dry land. And when you start pushing the state to the bottom rather than pulling it up from the top, you see what I mean? Irrigated yields pull it up from the top. But that dry land yield, when you start pushing the state up from the bottom, it's hard to slow it down. And we're seeing some awfully good dry land.
There was lots of talk on the eastern leg, and Jeff, you said that you had hit a spot with quite a bit of prevent plant. As you've moved southward, what have been your observations as far as empty fields, prevent plant, or maybe just fields that have been given up on?
Much less. They're few and far between. They pop up from time to time, but they're not like they were in South Dakota. The bullseye in terms of prevent plant. Nebraska looks pretty good overall, and I would say it's not it's a non-factor. Things got planted a little later, so that might take a little bit off the yield potential here. Crop definitely is, it looks good. It just needs a nice finish to it to reach the yield potential we're measuring right now.
Now, Jeff, are you still in Nebraska, or have you crossed over into Iowa yet?
Oh, no. We're near Red Cloud, Nebraska right now.
Okay.
So we're down near the Kansas border.
I was just going to say, Jeff can see Kansas.
I can. I can almost taste Kansas.
Exactly.
Smell the air down there.
Not sure I'd wish that on anyone, but Jeff. Jeff Wilson on the Western Legs. I love you, Kansas. You're fine. Jeff Wilson on the Western Leg of Pro Farmers Midwest Crop Tour. Thanks for updating us today. I've got Chip Flory. He's going to hang around. We're going to chew the fat just a little bit longer here on AgriTalk. Don't go away.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. unbiased, and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture is what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quantix is a powerfully simple drone that helps you scout all of your acreage from the sky. With a swipe of a button, its automated flight covers 400 acres in 45 minutes, delivering real-time, quick-look maps, which can be viewed immediately after landing. For deeper analysis, AVDSS Analytics transforms the data into actionable insights. It doesn't get any easier than Quantix and AVDSS. Visit farmdronedemo.com to learn more.
Some things are just better done in the dark, like sleeping, sleep talking,
hello, polka dots,
sleepwalking. Farming in the dark is not one of those things, but that's exactly what you're doing when you don't ask for the meal and oil levels of the soybeans you produce. Because, hey, your processor knows, and so do their buyers. Stop farming in the dark. You'll sleep better.
No, it's across the...
A message from the Soy Checkoff. Yeah. Click to find out more.
Now I'm going to the store.
They call it the World's Fair of Agriculture, and for good reason. It's all there for the folks who farm, the Farm Progress Show. Make your plans to be in Decatur, Illinois for the 66th Annual Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th. Get more information at farmprogressshow.com. See the latest in farming up close, talk to exhibitors and factory techs, and watch the equipment work in the field. We'll look for you at the Farm Progress Show, August 27th through the 29th at Decatur, Illinois.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
See the latest tech and agriculture at the Farm Progress Show, the nation's largest outdoor farm show, August 27th, 28th, and 29th in Decatur, Illinois.
Well, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here in for Chip Flory. Actually, I've got Chip here with me. He's out on the western leg, gallivanting, standing on the roof of his truck with his arms stuck out.
I'm looking to my left and looking at the Farmers Co-op in Shelby, Nebraska.
Hello, Shelby, Nebraska, out on the western leg. And hey, we're talking crop tour all this week, beloved radio listener. You can follow along, get online, get a free crop tour pass at triprofarmer.com, or go to your app store, search crop tour, and download the Pro Farmer app. All kinds of great stuff on there for you. You won't be sorry. It's free and easy to use. Chip.
Davis, yeah. You made a really interesting observation when you were talking with Brian.
Okay.
When you said, listen, was 2018 such a standout year that all we're really doing is returning to normal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting observation. It's a great question. So when we wrapped up in South Dakota, we had an average yield of 154 bushels per acre. Mm-hmm. The three-year average in South Dakota is 158.6. Right. So we're still about 4.5 bushels under that three-year average. And then on the pod counts, we had 832.85. That is below the three-year average of 965. So, mm-hmm. yes, it is a – it is a return to average on the acres that got planted.
Okay. Okay.
And when we're talking about the results that are in so far, Ohio and South Dakota, that's the really critical point, because obviously South Dakota leading the way on the prevent plant acres, Ohio a big chunk of prevent plant acres. Both states deal with it from time to time, but never like they've had to deal with it this year. And when you mentioned return to normal, one of the things that popped into my mind was a return to normal field conditions,
mm-hmm.
and geography and landscape
right.
in South Dakota. You know, I do wonder if we aren't starting to make a move back to the potholes. Now, mm-hmm. there's been a lot of tile laid since it got its name of the Prairie Pothole State.
Mm-hmm.
But that water table creating all kinds of issues, a lot of guys on that normally they'd be running a pivot. When you see prevent plant ground under a pivot,
mm-hmm.
It really is concerning. There's no question.
Yeah. Well, and on that sort of return to normal, okay, those are on the fields that you have surveyed. That doesn't consider the number of prevent plant acres. And I've got at Bauer Farms 87 here on Twitter. Remember, regardless of what hashtag PF Tour 19 comes up with for a final yield, it is a best case scenario with how far behind we are. I'd say it may be a best case scenario with how far behind we are. But even if we live up to these numbers, the overall crop size is going to be down this year because of those prevent plant acres. We got to keep that in mind, right?
Well, no. They're already out.
Okay.
Yeah, they are already out of the 13.9 billion bushels was the USDA estimate on August 1.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure what we're going to come up with, but we'll be using a harvested acreage estimate that the Doan researchers and Pro Farmer have come up with. We're not going to use the 82.017 unless that's the number that Bill Nelson and crew want to use. If that's mm-hmm. the case, then we're going to use it, but we're going to use Bill Nelson's number. We're going to use a yield that we think is best representative of the conditions that we saw across the Corn Belt. So
mm-hmm.
and you know, that prevent plant, guys, the question came up last night in Grand Island, and when I said, you know what, we don't even look at the prevent plant fields because for the crop tour, because once yield, mm-hmm. harvested acres only, prevent plant fields aren't even planted. They're definitely not harvested for grain.
Right.
Therefore, they have no influence on yield. I know that that's not the answer that people want to hear, Davis. I get that. And I understand how frustrating it can be, but it doesn't change the fact that yield is based on harvested acres. Mm-hmm. Prevent planted acres has nothing to do with yield. It's got a lot to do with overall production.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. If those acres were in production, what would the corn crop be? 15 billion?
Oh my
instead of 14?
Yeah. And had we not had the problems that caused those acres to be designated prevent plant, I would also suggest that we would see yield potential a lot closer to last year's, rather than being down 14% in Ohio corn, rather than being down 18% in South Dakota beans. Fair statement?
Well, sure. Because the trend line is a trend line.
Mm-hmm.
And we when you look at the management practices, when you look at the seed technology and everything that we're putting, we should be continue run into an unprecedented. We've never had a year like 2019.
Right.
And you run into a year like this. You're gonna set it back. It may not be three steps back, but it's two at least.
Give me three steps, mister. No, I'll take two instead. That's Chip Flory out on the Western Belt. Thanks, Chip, for being with us today. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you this afternoon. Be safe, all right? Yeah, as I had feared, we've lost Chip. I'm sure he's fine. Hey, this afternoon, we've got a special event coming up in the final segment. We've got Dan Leonard, senior meteorologist from the Weather Company. He'll be calling us in to talk about their fall forecast modeling. So they'll be looking ahead to what they expect and sharing their findings with us for this coming fall. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson. Visit TryProFarmer.com and get a look at what Pro Farmer's saying about
the simple life of a farmer. All you need is land, family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And an understanding of genetics, biology, climatology, economics, global trading, and estate planning. So you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
In a year like this, you need to know where your operation stands when it comes to actual yield. As the combines roll, decide with confidence on the right strategy. Sell, store, well, true real-time data can answer that question based on your farm, not some national average. Get all the real-time knowledge you need and $500 off your farm mobile data subscription. Use promo code CROPTOUR19 at farmmobile.com/CROPTOUR19. See Farm Mobile at your local stop on the 2019 Midwest Crop Tour. Terms and conditions apply.